Matthew chapter 11. It's verse 9. The page is 977 on the church Bibles. And it's for me especially. Rest for the weary. From verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are, who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Last Sunday, we were meditating about Jesus everywhere, that is, omnipresence. This morning, we are going to ponder about his omniscience. Omnipresent, omniscience, omnipotent. These are all the words that do not appear in the Bible as it is. Jack, I need your help. They do not appear as it is in the Bible. It is like the word Trinity. Trinity is a word which we cannot find in the scripture. Whereas Trinity, representing the righteous or the characteristic nature of God, can be seen throughout the scripture. Likewise, these words, omnipotent, omnipresence, and omniscience, they describe all powerful, all present, all knowing, the nature of God. These words are the derivatives from Latin roots, and omni, it means all. Sire in Latin refers to science in English, and it has a meaning of knowledge or to know about something. Omniscience, all knowing, knowing about everything. We all can agree to the fact that God is the one who is the creator of the universe and everything in it. So it is clear that he is not only the creator of the universe, but also he knows about everything. If you read both in the Old and in the New Testaments, you can see about God knowing everything. For example, this morning, earlier we read about Psalm 139. It was explaining the supreme knowledge of God, even knowing about our innermost thoughts. So this morning, we are going to see about all-knowing Savior, all-knowing Jesus in omniscience. We are going to see two categories. Jesus knows the Father God, and Jesus knows us. So Jesus must be knowing everything. Jesus knows the Father God. When do we say that, "I am good in baking cakes"? Only when we know what are all the ingredients that we know how to add, only we know that in what ratios those things need to be added, and only when we know that when to be added, which one to be added first and which one to be added after that. And only when we know that, how to operate the oven, how to control the temperature, time and everything. And then we can say that I am good in baking cake. I know how to make cake. I don't know how to make cake. When do we say that I am good in knowing physics? Only when we go through learning about that subject thoroughly, and only when we go through different levels of learning physics, and finally after taking the exam and passing the exam on that, then we can say that I know physics. So basically, we need to know about that entity, or knowing about that subject. But we all agree before that God, the creator of the universe, knows about everything. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, he says, "No one knows the Father except the Son." It means that he is the only one who knows everything about the God, who knows all of it. So we can say that God knows everything, and Jesus here claims that he knows about God, so Jesus must be an all-knowing one. So Jesus is the true representation of God, and everything about God has been revealed into him. And Jesus has been with God, he came from God, so he knows all about God. When we read few verses before this verse, at that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." If you read the first two verses, 25, 26, and 27, we can see it explains the relationship and understanding between God the Father and God the Son. Only Son can know better about his Father than anyone else. Even it applies to the family setup structure on this earth. For example, Voluvashen knows about his father more than Kevin, because Voluvashen has been living with his father. He knows what his father does. He spends more time with his father. He knows about the likes and dislikes of his father. He knows how his father would respond or react to the situations. Similarly, Jesus, in his humanity, he must be knowing more about his father. And in divinity, he and the Father are inseparable. They have been together from the beginning and the end. They have worked things together, many things they have worked together, including creation, salvation, redemption, and future coming. Jesus, in this verse, if you read, he knows how to approach his Father God. He says that, "I praise you, Father." He knows that his Father needs to be praised. He knows that the Father is the one who needs full attention. He has done everything about creation and the world existing now. So he has to be praised. So he knows how to approach the Father. And Jesus says, Lord of heaven and the earth. He knows how awesome and supreme power that his Father holds. He knows that he is the creator. He is the one who is ruling the heaven and the earth. He knows the authority of his Father. So he was saying that, Lord, my Father, you are the Lord of heaven and the earth. And Jesus knows the heart of his Father. He says that because he, you have hidden some things from the wise and learned, but you have revealed those things to the little children. So Jesus knows about the heart of the Father. And he knows what his Father would be pleased, what would not please him. He knows everything about the Father. And in verse 27, if you say that, it says that all things have been committed to me by my Father. So the second verse, it says that everything God has given under his control. It shows that Jesus' existence and his authority in God the Father. So they are working together. He knows what position God has given him. He knows what authority God has given him. Everything has been kept under his footstool now. So when the time comes, he will come and judge the world. That is the authority God has given. So Jesus knows about that. When you read the last verse, you can see that in that certainty, in that surety, in that revelation, Jesus is saying, no one knows the Father except the Son. I know my Father very well, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And when you read the last sentence, you can see that someone else also know the God the Father like Christ. When you read the last verse, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So basically, Jesus knows about the Father, and he chooses some people, and those people will also know about God, same like Jesus. Are we chosen by Christ?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. I was scared. Yeah. We are all chosen by Christ. We are all here because God has called us. If we boldly say that we are chosen by Christ, then we should be knowing about God. Because Jesus, he has elevated our position. We must have been in the bottom pitch dark world somewhere, but he has lifted us with his mighty hand, and he has allowed us to see the world, to see God himself, what he thinks about, what he knows about, in the same way he thinks. The Son chooses some people for destiny, and he will reveal God to those who are chosen. When we say about choosing by God, it has been a long, long debate for centuries between theologians. Hope you might have heard about Calvin and Arminius. I will briefly explain who these people are. Calvin and Arminius, they were two theologians. They were living in the Reformation period during the 16th century. Calvinism was formed by John Calvin, and Arminianism in his name, John Arminius, a Dutchman who started Arminianism. I will briefly explain what their theologies are, and I will leave you to choose which one you belong. Calvinism, they follow predestination. It means that Calvin taught that some people are predestined to salvation and others are predestined to condemnation. Calvinism, they have a formal fundamental theology saying that God chooses some people, and if he has decided to choose some people, they are saved. And others, even if they want to choose God, they cannot, because God has not chosen them. Calvinism, Arminianism, they follow free will. They say that, yes, indeed, God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he calls people, but he gives free will to the people to make them, allow them to choose or not to choose the grace of God based on the manifestation of suffering of Christ. Calvinism, if you want to briefly remember, remember the flower tulip. I think Richard mentioned a month ago about tulip. Tulip, T is for total depravity. They believe that all human beings were born with sin and wickedness. We all agree to that. U for unconditional election. God, in his sovereignty, he elects people for salvation. Whatever he decides, whomever he decides, he elects those for salvation. And L for limited atonement. Calvinists, they say that Jesus dying for sin is limited only to those people were saved, selected by God, and not for everyone. Irresistible grace, if people have agreed to follow Christ, then they cannot resist God's grace. They have to simply follow on. And finally, perseverance of the saints. Once people have been saved and drawn to God by the Holy Spirit, they have to persevere in their faith. We might ask question now to Calvinists. If God has predestined already, if God has chosen people already, then where does the concept of evangelism, sharing the good news, come? Calvinists have the reply for that. They say that we don't know who are predestined. We don't know who are already chosen. So we need to continue proclaiming God's good news. Whoever has been predestined by God already, they will listen the word of God and they will come to know him. Coming to Arminianism, they slightly modify Calvinist perspective and they go slightly deviated way. They agree with the total depravity, that we all are sinners, we were coming from sin and we were filled with wickedness. And they do reject unconditional election. They say that God in his sovereignty gives free will and we are to choose, we are to respond for his grace. And they say that Jesus dying is for all. His atonement is for the whole world. And the world needs to hear that Jesus has died for me, so I accept Jesus as my savior. And it is a resistible grace. People can still say that I don't want to follow Christ. So it is completely the freedom God has given to the humanity. And they believe there is security in Christ. So choose which one you follow. And sometimes people like Charles Spurgeon, they were going with a few points with the Calvinists. They were going with a few points with Arminianism. So it is up to us. When we read scripture, we can ask God to open our eyes and tell us which one we belong. Free will or it is predestined. Whatever it is, this morning we have gathered here because we are all chosen by God. We declare that and we come under his kingdom. We follow Christ. In Matthew, the same chapter, if you read these two verses, God has hidden few things from the wise and learned. What are all those hidden things Jesus is mentioning here? Hidden things, when you read a passage before that, and it is also appearing in the Luke Gospel, when you read that, you can find all those things are about anguish that God would bring against unrepented people, unrepented cities. He says that, be repented, otherwise your end will be same like Tyre and Sidon. So all those mysteries, who will be affected, who will be saved, and all these things are mysteries of God. And Jesus says that God has purposely hidden those things from the wise and learned people. We see around the world people are wise and learned, done many degrees, many things in research and all those things. For those eyes, they are all hidden. And he says, and reveal them to little children. We might be asking, how can the little children understand about that? Why Jesus is showing this to little children? It is not to little children, it is like children. When we become like children, when we become having that simple, plain and transparent faith like a child has, and we come to before God, Lord, I am your child forever. In your knowledge and wisdom, I am nothing. Then all those mysteries will be revealed to us, which has been revealed already to Christ. And the following verse, he says that, come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. So to whom all these mysteries are revealed? People like little children, people, those who are weary, those who are burdened. We keep smiling face, we keep always good, saying that, sometimes we may tell each other, I am happy, I am fine, I do that. And we all can say that. But in the most, everyone will have some problem, some pressure, some weariness, some burdens, which we may not share with anyone else. The world externally might bring pressure to us. The working place, the authorities to whom we work, it brings us pressure. Internally, even our innermost soul will not be rested. It always like not contentful. Whatever we have achieved, whatever we have gained, we want to achieve something more. I want to buy that. I want to be like him, like her. Something struggling inside our soul. We become burdened because of that. We become weary. Jesus is saying here, he will not lift up all those weary and burden. It is there because we are living in that world. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, he says that, I will share the yoke with you. I will give you a yoke. You don't need to carry on your own. I will share. The yoke is the one shared between those two. Christ on one side and we on the other side. So the burden will become light. What a wonderful call. He is revealing us the mysteries of God. We need to thank Jesus forever. Secondly, Jesus knows us. The disciples, after Jesus being ascended, they were left alone. They were praying this prayer, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Lord, you know everyone's heart. The disciples, they know that Jesus can even enter into their hearts, into people's heart. Anything in this world can be learnt if we put effort, energy, and time. But knowing about the thoughts within the other person, only it is possible by God. We don't know what the next person sitting to us is thinking about, but God knows. We don't know what the brain, the other person's brain, is just thinking now about what. Maybe neurosurgeons, using different scanning technology, they can go closer to the brain, they can go into the brain, and they can see how the brain cells are connected, how the blood is flowing inside and flowing outside, and even the minute brain cells, how it is working. Is there any problem? Is there any swelling? Is there any disease? All those things they can find out using the advanced technology. Perhaps psychiatrist, after they perceiving people's behavior, they can find out to some extent what the disorder in the brain could cause this person to behave like that. That's it. They cannot go beyond that. They cannot say what the person is thinking inside. Only God can do that. Jesus can penetrate. Jesus is the Word, and he says that he is sharper than the sharpest double-edged sword. It can penetrate between the bone and the marrow. It can penetrate between our thoughts and behavior. And he can go into us. Nothing can be hidden from him. Everything is naked before him. He is the one who created us. So he knows about us all. Not only parts of the body, but what the one of the part thinks as well. He knows our sitting and raising. He knows what we are thinking about the other person. Sometimes he gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to navigate us. If we accept Jesus as the Savior, then these signs, following signs, should be appearing in our lives as well. Because Peter, with the disciples, when they were casting lots to select a person as a 12th disciple in the place of Judas, who has betrayed Jesus and killed himself, he said, "It is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in. And may another take his place of leadership.'" He is quoting from two Psalms in this single verse, from Psalm 69:25 and Psalm 109:8. I don't remember these disciples were ever quoting scripture before this. Once Jesus been ascended, they were all felt like desolated. They think where they are going to go, but this is the way the Holy Spirit is guiding them. They were reading scripture. They know what is said in Psalms. So Peter is quoting here with the two Psalms. We need to replace someone in the place of Judas to continue our apostolic ministry. Not only they were reading scripture, they were following and obeying God's commands. They decided, they nominated two people, Joseph and Matthias. They don't know which one to choose. They simply not depend on their own understanding. They want God to be involved in that. So they cast the lot and they were saying, "Lord, can you please show us which one to be chosen now?" Even in God's ministry, even in our difficult situation, personal life, whatever it is, we need Jesus to be the center of that. He can enter into the hearts of the people. He can enter into Joseph's heart. He can enter into Matthias's heart. And he can show us which one would be apt to continue this apostolic ministry. Jesus knows us. With this awesome Holy Spirit, he is to be celebrated. He says that Paul is writing this letter to Colossians. His goal is that the Colossians may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what he is writing to us this morning. If you want to have the complete understanding, full understanding of God, then receive Christ in us, trust in us, reading the scripture, following his commandments, depending on his understanding, then all the mysteries are revealed to us. Finally, to summarize that, Jesus knows the Father God. It means that Jesus knows about God, the universe, the heavenly realms, and all his creations, his plans, his mysterious knowledge and wisdom, what he has for the whole kingdom to come, and all those things being revealed. So Jesus knows the Father God. Secondly, Jesus knows us, because he chose to live among us. He came down to this earth, and he knows our fragility. He knows how frail we are. He knows the temptations that are in this world. He knows in and out of our life. He can be a person of knowing our innermost thoughts. So he knows completely about heaven. He knows completely about earth. So Jesus must be an all-knowing Savior. He is an omniscience to celebrate. Shall we pray?